So I would and just invite you now to grab your straw. I'm just going to put this here, is that okay? And even with all this reconstruction on our platform, in fact, I'm going to do this. I don't like that music stand. I'm going to grab it. Is this okay? Because if it's not, too bad. Here we go. And I'm going to stick this here. And I'm going to stick this here. Everybody got their straw? So we're gonna show a video. It's a 1 minute video. Carrie told me when I showed it to her, she said, "Mark, that is gross. Some people are going to vomit when they watch that." So it's only 1 minute. So if you can handle it for 1 minute, then I would encourage you to watch it. I didn't think it was that gross. But anyways, why don't we play the video? Hold the straw. Imagine you're the turtle. So what?
Okay, I'm filming. You can go for it, Mr. Surgeon. She's going to be so happy. A big boy.
Bless you.
Have you ever heard a turtle sneeze?
I have. You know what this is?
What is it? Swabs, the sterile swabs. Could you put them into the iodine and then we're just gonna try to clean it? No, but it doesn't hook for it. He bit on it, he said it's plastic. I've never found out already. No, it's a
the environment and why you should use paper straws, not plastic straws. But here's some questions that nobody passed out, right? Nobody was. That was almost as bad as watching, say, like the Montreal Canadiens play hockey or something like that, right? It was pretty gross. But if I could ask Mr. Turtle a couple of questions, these would be the questions I might ask is, how did it get in there? Like, how in the world did that straw get stuck up that turtle's nose? And I'm not trying to be nosy, but I'm just kind of curious. Or how long had the straw been stuck up this turtle's nose? Or what did the process of pulling it out feel like? I mean, we get an idea that there's obviously some pain, there's some blood, there's some, you know, the animal is in pain, no doubt. And you know, what happens if you sneeze with a straw stuck up your nose? Do you, like, you blow your brains out or whatever? Or did your wife leave you because that was the last straw? Like, I'm not sure how Mr. Turtle would answer some of those questions, but maybe on a more serious note, as you think about where is this guy going this morning with this, did it ever just feel normal, Mr. Turtle? Did you ever begin to normalize such a foreign object? Did you ever just begin to kind of accept it and accommodate it, like, and live with it? Even though it's not to be there, obviously it's not healthy. Obviously you weren't created to have a straw stuck up your nose. You know, maybe there's like a nose ring, but not a nose straw kind of thing. I mean, did you ever just normalize it because you have no way of getting rid of it? You can't get rid of it, so you just live with it, and maybe just the idea of having to get it pulled out is just painful, but you're living with it and it's painful, but you're just not sure what to do, and you just kind of, well, you just get used to it, and so you just live with this straw stuck up your nose. Well, I think sometimes in life we can accommodate things that really, really do not belong. Would you agree? Sometimes in life we have things in our lives, maybe like this straw, that they really shouldn't be there, but they're there. And for whatever reasons, we've just begun to accommodate that issue. We're in this series, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to one of his proteges. This guy's name is Timothy, and he's in Ephesus for the season that Paul is writing to him. And Paul is a cheerleader. He's an encourager. as we mentioned last week, you know, Timothy was timid, Timothy was young, Timothy had gastrointestinal issues. That's a lot of information to be in Scripture for the last 2,000 years, but he did have a problem in that way. And so Paul is writing him and encouraging him. And in this particular church, one of the big issues is false teachers that are really damaging the reputation of the church. And so Paul is writing him and saying, look, you know, the bride of Christ, the church, needs to be holy. The church needs to have integrity. And how many of us would say amen to that these days, right? The church needs to be righteous. The church needs to be pure. Or as Paul says in chapter 2, verse 2, the church needs to be dignified in every way. But the problem is that they are, 2,000 years ago, accommodating things that really don't belong, like a straw. And it's creating a lot of pain. As you can see on the video, it's for a turtle. Imagine for a church. Imagine for a person. There's cause for bleeding. And so in our text today, Paul is coming to Timothy, and he's going to attempt an extraction of a straw. In fact, our title for our text today could be entitled Turtles with Straws Stuck Up Their Noses. And you're thinking, well, I didn't know there were turtles in Ephesus. Well, there were. There's a group of people that have accommodated things that don't belong, and there's pain and there's bleeding. It's not healthy. And by the looks of these turtles, they have normalized, accepted the straw. And so Paul is attempting to extract the straw from their noses because it is hurting the testimony of the church. It is hurting the relationships inside the church. It is hurting and damaging the reputation of the church. And so here comes Paul with his tweezers saying, we're going to pull something out that doesn't belong. So who are the turtles? Women, you'll be happy to know the men are the turtles. The men are the turtles. And what is the straw? Well, you'll see this morning that the straw could be 1,000 different things depending on your life. But in our context, the straw is anger. And the context? If you take your Bible, if you have your Bible online in our building this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we've been working through verse 8. And Paul has just talked about in this text about pray for your political leaders. Kathleen spoke on that a couple of weeks ago. And her point was, when you see a political leader or a person in authority, whatever that person might be, don't just view them through how you rate how they're doing their job or their political position. See them through the eyes of the gospel. It was a great message on that whole important issue. It was on prayer. Pray for them. And now Paul continues that theme, and he says in verse 8, and we're just going to look at one verse this morning, I desire then that in every place that men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. Notice it says here that in every place, and so what does Paul mean? He means exactly that, in every place. But we know by reading the context, if you look at chapter 3, verse 15, he says, I write these things to you, Timothy, because why? Well, that you may know how one ought to behave in the church or in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of truth. And so while Paul is saying everywhere, everywhere is somewhere, and that somewhere in the context of what Paul is writing to Timothy is the gathered church as people come together, this is one of the primary contexts that he's addressing. I mean, how odd does it look for men to be praying in the household of God with a straw stuck up their nose? Answer? Apparently odd enough that it would warrant Paul to attempt an extraction. You see, it's all too easy to accommodate straws, things that don't belong. We get used to it. We're not sure how to get rid of it. And every one of us here this morning, including myself, we all have our strategies. Because we know at times there are things in our lives that don't belong. And instead of perhaps dealing with it, The extraction is too painful. Owning up to it is too humiliating. It's too much work. We accommodate it, and we have strategies to somehow justify the straw. Well, this morning we want to unpack the anger straw. But, like I said, anger may not be what your straw represents that you hold in your hand this morning. It might be something completely, completely different. But everything I'm going to say about anger in this context is going to apply to the issue that you are perhaps thinking about today. Or perhaps you're thinking about someone that you're discipling or mentoring, and you're saying, you know, as I mentor and as I coach, as I help someone follow Jesus, I'm trying to figure out how to help them get the straw out of their nose. And then this might be somewhat helpful as you think of that. And so the question that I want to ask this morning is, how do I begin to get the straw out of my nose? How do I begin to deal with the straw? And whatever it is, I think there are two really important conversations. They come right out of our verse this morning. Two really important conversations you need to have. You're going to have a conversation with God. And you're going to have a conversation with people. I can pretty much guarantee you, whatever your straw is, it's going to require God talk. Conversation with God. And it's going to require multiple conversations. And I can pretty much guarantee you, whatever your straw might be, anger, whatever, it probably is going to require a conversation with people. There's a pretty good chance that whatever your straw is, or has been, or will be in the future, it can affect, hurt, damage a lot of relationships. See, the conversation may need to begin with God. That's the first answer. How do I deal with this? I need to talk to God. I mean, notice in this context, what are these men doing? They're praying. And what is prayer? Well, simply put, it's a conversation with God where I do not approach God as the boss. I approach him. He is the boss. I'm under his authority. And you'll notice here he says, I desire that men everywhere. Now, someone might think, well, what about the women? Well, this isn't referring to the fact that women can't pray. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you'll know that women pray in gathered services. So why is he just saying men? Well, let's not overcomplicate it. It was their problem in this context. It doesn't mean women are never angry. It just means in this particular context, there's a gender-specific directive because there is a problem with the men. Now, the women have their problems, and we'll see that in this book, and that'll be a hot topic, I'm sure. That'll be next week. But the men have their problems as well, and they're just angry. There's a problem with anger. But it could be the women. 2,000 years ago, that just wasn't the issue. And so what's the picture as you read this? There's oftentimes, the scripture provides a picture. Just in the simple language, or when you look at the Greek, it's sometimes a fantastic picture. And so the picture we have here is men and women, we can include all, both, and they're lifting up their hands, and we're thinking, well, why are we doing that? Because is this a Pentecostal church, you know, like, or this isn't my tradition, I don't lift up hands. Well, you know, the issue that is transcultural, that applies to all ages, is that men and women are supposed to pray. We see that from Genesis to Revelation. That's a fairly simple thing. But how that was expressed in different cultures, well, it just looked different all the time. And so in a Jewish culture, and sometimes in pagan cultures in that time, they would lift up their hands, and what were they symbolic of? Well, the text tells us, holy hands. In fact, the Greek word for holy means hands which have committed no impiety. So the picture is people standing, lifting hands and saying, God, my heart is pure. My heart has integrity. My heart is yours. I'm serving you. And my hands are symbolic of that. Very common Jewish practice in that day. And so let me ask you the question again. Is this the picture that Paul is painting? Men, let's include women, men and women standing there and worshiping God like this. Is this the picture? Not exactly. This is the picture. People standing, worshiping God. Now, if I wanted to be kissed, I'd stick this right up my nose. but that would cause brain damage. I'm not going to do that this morning. Others may want to try that. But let's just hold it here, okay? Let's just hold it here. This is not the picture of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. This is the picture. God, I love you. God, I'm serving you. God, my heart is yours. And God, by the promptings of the Spirit, writing of Paul, is saying, okay, I see your heart, and I see we got a problem. What about that? What about that straw in your right hand or in your left hand? What about that? Paul says, I want the church to be dignified in every way. Chapter 2, verse 2. This is not dignified worship. We might say this is horrific worship. The hypocrisy that is happening in this particular context. God, I love you. God, I'll serve you. I'm yours. But what's that straw doing there? See, it's all too easy to accommodate things that don't belong, to accommodate straws, isn't it? Would you agree? It's easy for me. Here, an example is we live on Sydenham Lake, and so our house looks out over some property and then a lake, and there's trees in front, but there's this black post about 4 feet high. And my parents used to live in this house, and my dad, years ago, probably 30 years ago, ran a line, a wire under the ground, illegally, and he ran it. It's not to code, my son, who's an electrician, told me. And he had a lamp there. It was a light. But for the last 15 years, I think, we've only lived there 5.5 years, there's been no light. It's just this black post in the backyard, 3-4 feet high, 5 feet high. And it's between us and the lake. And so when you look out at the lake, you see the trees and you see a post. And for the last couple of years, my sons have been saying to me, and I'm sure my daughter has as well, like, Dad, Mom, get rid of the post. Oh, yeah, you're right. Then they come visit again. Dad, get rid of the post. What are you doing with the post? And then it comes and visits again. Get rid of the post. I keep forgetting to get rid of the post. How come? Because I'm an idiot? They might think that at times. No, I just, you can finish this. I just don't see it. I get used to it. It's just part of the landscape. And I needed someone from the outside to come in and say, what in the world? Why don't you take the post down? So my son, the electrician, not the nurse, because he would hurt himself. The electrician, no, I'm just kidding. The electrician would, what? He took it down with his saw. Thank you, Landon, for tearing it down. It's easy, isn't it? To things that don't belong, someone needs to come alongside and say, hey, what's that all about? It's interesting that while prayer in Scripture, because this is the context of verse 8, prayer and worship, is normally regarded positively, it's often seen in Scripture to be corrupt. Let me just repeat myself. Oftentimes, when prayer is referred to in Scripture, it is seen as corrupt. And so when Paul is talking about prayer and worship in this context and the corruption of it as what's unfolding in verse 8, he's just continuing on with a theme that we see in Scripture. People have gotten used to, whether you call it a straw or a post that are blocking the view, because apparently it's easy to worship and it's easier to pray with a straw or with a post. I'm just going to flip through a number of verses. They're on the PowerPoint here, but in Psalm 88, verse 4. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? God's angry at the prayers of the people. Why? Well, one of the issues is they're accommodating stuff. Proverbs 28, verse 9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Isaiah 1:15. When you stretch out your hands to me in prayer, I will turn away from my eyes from you, even if you make many petitions. I will not listen to you, for your hands are full of blood. Wow. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, Jesus said, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. And then finally in Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank that I'm not like other people, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, you know, or even like the tax collector. Wow. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get, and all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, Jesus said. Later on in that text. It's God, like God is saying in all of these texts, and there's so many of them, you guys have straws stuck up your nose. Why don't you deal with them first before you come to me and make all these petitions? It's so easy, is it not, to accommodate straws, things that don't belong. You see, how do I deal with my straw? If you have a straw this morning that you're thinking about, you need to start that conversation with God. Have you ever had a conversation with God about your straw? I imagine all of you, if you're following Christ, if you're a Christ follower, then there will be multiple seasons in your life as a disciple where you'll become aware of things that don't belong. And here's my experience, is oftentimes when I come to God with these issues, I stay in the conversation a lot longer than I ever thought I would. Why is that? Well, take the issue of anger. Anger, as we know, is a secondary emotion. It's not the primary issue, most times. It's an indication of hurt. There's a root to anger. And so sometimes what happens is we come to God with our issue, whatever it might be, and we say, God, I want to talk to you about this straw. And God says, I'd love to talk to you about it, but it's not the primary issue. You think it's the primary issue. It's only leading to another number of issues. In fact, I would illustrate it this way with this next slide. We come to God with a photograph of our problem. God has x-ray vision, and he can see the heart of it. And he says, you know, you want to talk to him about anger, or you want to talk whatever it is, this conversation is going to go a lot longer because I see things that you don't see that we need to talk about, or else you'll never deal with the straw that you think is the presenting problem. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Ever had that experience before? Yeah. Another way that I would put this, it's like the straw is like the foyer into a house. You step in the foyer, I can go downstairs to all the rooms, I can go to the main level, all the rooms, I can go upstairs. And sometimes we come to God and we say, God, here's the issue, I want to talk about it. And whatever analogy you like, it's like the foyer. He says, well, okay, but do you realize that's like the foyer of a house? There are a lot of rooms, there are a lot of issues that are attached to this issue, and this conversation is going to go longer than you ever expected it was going to go. See, the wonderful thing about worship and prayer and coming before God is we can come as we are, but we're not to stay as we are. That's wonderful, isn't it? We can come as we are, but we're not to stay as we are. And so again, my experience is to take some scissors here. I come to God and I start to talk to God about my issue. And wouldn't it be lovely if the Lord just says, okay, let me take that from you. And we go, okay, I'm all good. You know, I had Phyllis, I have a real anger issue, and I just prayed about it, and I went to God in prayer, Phyllis Turrell I'm talking to, the famous Phyllis Turrell, and I prayed like 5 minutes, I took it to the cross, and I gave it to Jesus, and I walked away, and I wasn't angry ever again. Really? Really? It doesn't work that way. I think that's bad theology. We are sanctified, yes, it's a process, and so this is what I find often happens. I come to God with my issue, and he says, well, let's deal with that. Okay, that's helpful. And then let's deal with that. And by this power of the Spirit and by the love of God, I begin to get a handle on the issue, and it begins to lose power in my life, and it begins to lose authority in my life. And sometimes this is a painful process because it's part of the DNA of who I am. I've walked with this thing for so long, I've normalized it. That's the problem. I've normalized it, and so I've accepted it. And so to get rid of it is really, really difficult because it's a well-worn path. And so I have to come back to God time and time again, being renewed by, you know, the process of being sanctified by the renewal of your mind. It's a process, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and perhaps God at some point will take that right away from you, or sometimes you'll just need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit to gain victory and to gain strength over that. And the beautiful thing about God is, while he says you can come and worship me as you are, but you can't stay as you are, he is faithful. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, it's all too easy to accommodate straws that don't belong. I have another straw because I have another point. But it's all too easy, is it not? We agree. We totally agree. And so how can I begin to deal with my straw? Well, I need to have a conversation with God. That's where I need to start. But then I need to have a conversation with finish the sentence. I have to have a conversation with people. I have to have a conversation with Phyllis. That's right. Maybe we'll come back to Phyllis in a moment here. But notice in verse 8, it says, I desire them that men everywhere lift up holy hands without anger. And then he says, quarreling. So anger has a root, but it has fruit, right? In this particular case. And the fruit of anger is quarreling. And so if I go to God and I say, God, I have a straw. I want to talk to you about this straw. And he says, okay, great. And you've come with a photograph, but I have x-ray vision. And I can see that there's more to this issue than what you're presenting. And what the more to this issue is that I have x-ray vision. It's not just what is connected to this. It's who is connected to this. Right? Who? And so that would mean that my second conversation, maybe simultaneously, I need to go to God and I need to go to people, because this thing has probably hurt people, as it was doing in the context here. Just imagine this, how unacceptable. I'm worshiping God and there's fighting going on in the church. That's what's going on. There's quarreling. There's unresolved issues. And how in the world can they justify just coming and playing like it's all good and we're all happy? No, you're not happy. You're fighting. Quarreling. The word just means disputing. Controversy. It doesn't mean having healthy disagreement and agreeing to disagree. That happens all the time. That's healthy when you're with healthy people. No, this is antagonistic. This is mean-spirited. This is condescending. This is barbed. This is making each other bleed. This is tough stuff. This was characteristic of the false teachers that were in Ephesus. They were controversial. They were harmful, not only in what they taught, but how they taught what they taught. I like this quote. No matter how just your words may be, when you speak with anger, you ruin all. Now let's just pause here. How relevant is this today in our world? This particular straw, let's just think about anger for a second. Is this completely irrelevant to our culture today? Is there any quarreling? Is there any rancor? Is there any dispute? Which would seem to be higher and greater intensity than ever before. Do we live in an angry culture? Anger and venom. Someone said, anger and venom are the order of the day. It is so characteristic of the world we live in. It's in the air we breathe. It's in the food we eat. Anger, dispute, tribalism, cancel culture, you know, all that stuff. You guys know better than I do, because I'm old. Some of you are younger than I am. Not all of you, but some of you. You know what's going on. Anger. We have a guest speaker coming in a couple of weeks, David Gretzky, not Wayne Gretzky's father or brother, but it's Gretzky, it's a bit different. He's the vice president of EFC, Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. They work in Ottawa. They represent the evangelical voice, but they also represent all religions in the context of politics, bringing issues that have shared values to the dialogue, and they're a great organization. And I said, David, we'd love to have you come and speak. He's spoken here several times before, because we like to keep up on the national issues that are going on so we can pray for Canada, because we love Canada, right? We pray for our city, we pray for our nation. And he said, well, Mark, I'd love to come and talk, but I don't want to really come and talk about the culture of Canada. We have our concerns with what's going on, but our big concern is the culture of the church across Canada. The anger, the division, the toxicity. So he's going to come on December the 5th and not talk about how bad the country is. Ah, shucks. He's going to come and talk about how unhealthy the church can be. It is, in some cases. Anger. So the question is not just do we live in an angry culture, but what's gone wrong in the church where there can be anger and rancor. And I mean, it was happening 2,000 years ago. And it seems in Paul's words here in verse 8 that many had normalized it, accommodated it, built it into the culture of the church. And so Paul is taking his tweezers and he's attempting an extraction, because it shouldn't be part of the church. In terms of, there's good anger, of course, there's godly anger, we get all that, but that's not what we're talking about this morning. I was in a group discussion a couple of weeks ago, some city leaders, and we were talking about our organizations. And so I was talking about the church, and they were talking about their organizations that they represent. And we talked about red zone, green zone. And you can see this in your organization. So think of your campus ministries. Think of maybe your marriage. Think of your neighborhood. Red zones are, well, you can see them there. Fear-based, defensive, combative, win for self only, defeat others, self-interest only, feels like warfare, rigid, reactive, hostile, attacking, controlling. Oh, I love it when I'm in the red zone. Green zone is trust-based, collaborative, cooperative, mutual gain, connection with others, sees others as partners, feels like problem-solving, open to influence, curious, joint efforts. And the point of the conversation was just to talk about why are so many organizations, and I was representing the church, and I could say, and why sometimes in the church, why are there red zones and green zones? And it came back to a lot of, well, anger in our culture, and a number of issues, but anger was one of them. As you look at that list, are you right now, are you stressed in any way because you're living in a red zone work context, marriage, ministry campus, church, whatever the context might be? It might be with your kid. I feel like I'm in a red zone all the time, or a green zone. Do you feel the anxiety levels go up when you walk into a red zone? Oh, I do. And sometimes when I'm in a red zone, I walk away and go, how come I didn't think to say that when I was there? Well, because I was in the red zone. And when I'm in a red zone, I'm not as thinking as clearly as I want to think. I always think better in a green zone. And do you think anger would contribute to red being redder? And do you think whatever your straw is this morning, your straw actually might contribute positively or probably negatively, you know, probably would enhance the redness of red, perhaps? It's all too easy to accommodate straws. And so whatever your straw, it'll mean, well, we've already said this, it'll mean sitting down with God, and it'll also mean sitting down with people. Because it's really hard to carry on a relationship. Whatever your issue is, it's really hard, you know, to say, hey, how are you? You know, how are you doing these days anyways? Send a text message. Man, I really don't like you, you know? It's really hard to carry on relationships, isn't it? It's really, really hard. And so if God gets you to a point where you say, I got to deal with my straw, got to have this conversation with God, and I got to get strength so that I can then go to a relationship that has been deeply affected by it, and I need to have that conversation, it's going to take courage, grace, humility, a listening heart, time, energy, and I'll take two. And the bummer about straws is sometimes when you're ready to deal with it, and it's affected a relationship, the other person's not ready to deal with it, and so you're like stuck there thinking, okay, I've dealt with God, I've got some healing on this issue, but I guess I'm just going to have to give this some time because the other person's not ready. But what can happen, again, in a relationship as you go to that person in that relationship? Again, it could be a marriage, it could be a friendship, it could be roommates, it could be a ministry context, work context, and perhaps there's two mutual people willing to talk, and so you begin to talk about it, and it might go that well. It might not go that well. But let's say it does. And again, it's hard because just like when you're talking to God, these are well-worn paths. This is how you've always related, or you've related like this so long. And sometimes there's repentance that's needed. There's confession of sin. There's, like I said, there's humility, there's time, and there's grace that is needed. And it goes on and on and on, and it can be really, really difficult. But you need to have the conversation. And again, it's not one and done, right? I've just illustrated that. It's not like I go to Phyllis and say, hey, Phyllis, you know what? I have a lot of anger. I went to God and like one conversation, one and done, and I was all good. And then I went to my wife, and I'm never angry at my wife, so this is a bad illustration, right? But anyways, I'm angry at my wife, and I go to her, and we're all done, one and done. No, probably not, right? No, not at all. Man, give me some encouragement, would you, Phyllis? And I say one and done, and she says, no. Because the reality is I have to go multiple times to bring healing and to bring strength back into that relationship, whatever it might be. Multiple conversations at times. Now, we're not talking about burning the toast. If I burn the toast, okay, I get it. One and done. We're not talking about that. We're talking about more serious type of issues. That you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's a conversation. And as we do that hard work, what happens? Lord willing, what can happen? The church can what? The church can be this vibrant testimony. Can be, not always, in the community. Not perfect, not having arrived, not necessarily seeing eye to eye on everything. But people who take relationships and unity seriously and also take the witness of the church seriously and say, if there is a straw in my hand, I will protect the bride. I want the church to be dignified in every way. I want my campus ministry to be dignified in every way. This is not just about me. This is about the reputation. This is about the witness of the church. This is about the testimony of the church. This is about the strength of the church, because we also know that the enemy loves straws. Doesn't he? He's got bucket loads of straws that he is handing out for free. Because he knows if he can get you to hold a straw, he can wreck your relationship, he can wreck your life, he can wreck your marriage, he can wreck your campus group, he can wreck your church, he can wreck your life group, he can go on and on. We have to have conversations with God, and we have to have conversations with people. And my experience is that at 59 years of age, this never, ever ends, because there are so many broken people in this world, for heaven's sakes. That's not true. Well, that's true, of course, but I'm one of them, right? So there are many times. It doesn't matter how faithful you are. It doesn't matter how much integrity you have, maturity you have, good intention you have. I don't care how much of that you have. It's just life. We end up holding straws at times. And we've got to go to God. And we've got to go to people. And it's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength and health. That we constantly go to God. We go to people. And we deal with those issues. So, question. Do you have a straw in your hand? You should have a straw in your hand. Got your straw? You feel like you're on a kid's show. What's going on here, right? If you're online, do you have a straw? Now here's the question. That's an easy question to answer. Do you have a straw? I have a straw here. But do you have a straw to deal with? See, it's all too easy to accommodate straws that don't belong. And so my question would be, what do you need to say to God? Anything? Or what do you need to say to people? And so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. They'll have to reassemble their platform here, and I'll get off and I can help you with that too. But as they come up, they're going to lead us in a song, and as we close, we want to encourage you to have a conversation with God. And so you can hold the straw, or you can put it in your Bible, or you can put it in your back pocket, and feel free to use it at lunch if you want. And as we sing this last song, I just want to encourage you to have a conversation with God, that's all. Start a conversation with God. I can get those in a second. But no, go ahead. You can, I'll just, like, there's this thing called COVID, so we're just trying to be sensitive, right? But as we close, we're going to sing this song. And I want you, you know, it's been tough to hold the straw, right? I want you to lift up holy hands. Some of you are going, oh no, I didn't know it was this kind of church, right? So what I want you to do is this. As we sing this last song, we want to encourage you to begin to have a conversation with God, whatever that's going to look like. And maybe you hold up your hands and you do this. Maybe this is daring, right? Or maybe you can do this. Or maybe you can do this. Or this. Right? And I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but you get the point here, is that we want to lift up our hands. And as you lift up your hands this morning and you put your straw in your back pocket, just to say, God, is there a conversation I need to start having with you? We're not trying to create something here, but Lord, my hands, I want my hands to be holy. And if there's anything in my heart, would you show that to me? And I just lift my hands up to say, God, I want my heart to be pure and right before you. And so we're going to just start the conversation with this song, and at the end of the song, I'll come back and we'll just dismiss you. But I want to encourage you to continue to have the conversation. You may need to go home. You may need to take that straw and just say, God, I got this straw I need to talk to you about. And let me warn you, it could be messy. Remember the turtle? Remember the turtle? It could be painful. But it's better to talk to God about this now than when it really gets messy. And you may leave here today and say, I've talked to God about this. Maybe this morning you're going to do it now or a bit later. I need to go to have a few conversations. We would encourage you to do that as well. So, would you join me? We're going to sing this final song. You can sing like this, like this, like this, like this. And just say, God, is there a conversation I need to have as we close? So please stand.